This is Hunter Galloway welcoming you to the AFRS Radio Playhouse for another outstanding performance by one of your favorite stars. Our guest this evening is the First Lady of the American Theater, Miss Helen Hayes. Now, here is Miss Hayes herself to tell you about the play. Miss Hayes?
Tonight we present a charming original radio play, Siren Song from Baltimore, by a new and talented young playwright, Lucille Callan. To play the part of Peter Tolliman, we're happy to welcome Mr. Winston O'Keefe and also Mr. George Petrie, who will appear in the role of Douglas Perry.
When spring came to the city, it was very democratic. It shone with equal warmth on the proprietor of the penthouse and the tenant of the tenement. It brought nostalgic sighs to the hearts of big businessmen and gentle lumps to the throats of aging charwomen. And in its magic descent upon the city, it sang for a moment in the air around Roberta Tellerman, who was running up the front stairs of a slightly decrepit brownstone house in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
This is Tellerman. A little restraint, please. A little dignity, if you don't mind.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Merriwell. Happy spring.
I was passing your room a little while ago. Stopped in for a minute, just to make sure everything was all right.
Thanks.
There's a gentleman sitting there. Says he's waiting for you.
A gentleman? That couldn't be Peter.
No. Your husband isn't home yet.
Well, don't worry, Mrs. Merriwell. He'll arrive in time to save me.
Hello, Ruby.
Douglas Perry! Oh, I can't believe my eyes. When did you get into town? How long are you staying? Oh, Douglas, it's so good to see you again. Let me look at you.
I hope you'll forgive my barging into your place like this. The door was open.
Oh, yes, we always leave it open on account of Peter and I can never remember to take our keys and we always get locked out.
You always leave it open? Why, anybody at all could walk in and...
Sometimes they do. We've met the most interesting people that way. Sit down, Douglas. What do you think of our little junkyard? Isn't it charming?
Well...
Peter calls it our wilderness. You know, here with a book of verse beneath the bough, a loaf of bread, a jug of wine, and thou beside me singing in the wilderness. Only we haven't got a bough, no trees, you know. But it's a nice little wilderness, isn't it?
Well, it's not exactly what I'd call luxurious.
Ah, you think it looks poor, don't you, and shabby. Well, it doesn't look that way to me. I love it. Look at all the books we have, 247, and our record collection, 3 whole symphonies. And our second-hand phonograph, it's not working right now, but... Oh, listen to me. How are you, Douglas? How's everybody back home in Baltimore?
Fine. They all send regards.
Did they? That's nice. You know, sometimes I miss the old crowd. How's my family?
Fine. They told me to give you their love.
Poor thing. You know, I don't think Mother and Father will ever forgive me for running off to New York with a starving artist instead of marrying you and settling down and living a nice, comfortable life.
I felt pretty bad about it, too. I still do.
Do you? After 3 years?
After 3 years. I haven't changed.
No, you haven't. You're looking very well. How do I look to you, Douglas?
Wonderful, but too thin.
Slim is the word.
Roby, are you happy?
Terribly happy.
Living in a place like this, why, you don't even have a telephone.
Isn't it wonderful? You never know what peace and contentment can be until you free yourself from the slavery of owning a telephone.
Well, I don't know. I couldn't live without one.
Of course you could. It would unshackle you. You'd be a new man. Here, have some fruit, Douglas. Have a cigarette. Shall I make some coffee?
No, thanks.
Thank goodness. I hate making coffee. Our percolator gets so excited when the water starts to boil that it invariably overflows, makes a mess on the stove.
Tell me, Roby, there aren't... I mean, children?
No, not yet. We hope to have dozens someday.
I suppose you're busy keeping house.
Oh, I don't keep this place. I just enjoy it.
Oh. Well, what do you do with your time?
Do with it? I crowd it. I never have enough time to do everything I want to do. I'm going to write to my congressman and demand a 40-hour day. I work, you see.
You work?
Yes, at a music publisher's.
But what about your husband?
Oh, he's fine. He's having an exhibition of his paintings next week. A one-man show. A whole room full of Peter Tolliman's. Isn't it wonderful?
Is that how he makes his money?
Oh, no. Commercial art. He freelances. That means a lot of work for a few months and maybe no work at all for another few months, but it's good that way. Leaves him free to do his own painting. My goodness, what a hostess I am, monopolizing the conversation. Tell me, Douglas, what are you doing in New York? Business? Or is it a pleasure trip?
Well, a little of both. I brought Mother and my sister Doris along with me.
Oh, good. I'd love to see them.
They'd have come down here with me today, but they were a little tired after the trip.
That's all right. Just as well they didn't come anyway.
Why?
Well, you know, people have different ideas about things. They wouldn't feel comfortable in a place like this. They wouldn't understand it.
I'm not sure I do either. Roby, you know how I feel about you. I've always wanted to take care of you, give you things, and it hurts me to see you like this.
Like what, for heaven's sake?
Doing without things.
I'm doing fine. Oh, this is silly. Here you come to visit me after 3 years, and the first thing we do is have an argument.
I'm sorry, darling. It was my fault. What's the matter?
Don't you know? You call me darling.
Shouldn't I?
Oh, sure. You can if you want to. But like I said, I'm very happy with Peter. Peter.
Hmm?
Are you very absorbed in what you're painting, or can I talk to you?
Sure.
Sure what?
Talk to me.
I like that figure in the background. It's so lonely.
It's not supposed to be lonely. It's supposed to be prophetic.
Oh. Peter?
Yep.
Do you think we ought to have a telephone?
Good grief, no. What for?
In case somebody wants to call us sometime.
Anybody worth talking to wouldn't call us on a phone. They'd come and see us. Conversation over a telephone is like eating at a lunch counter. Hurried, inhibited, indigestible.
I suppose it is. But, Peter...
Hmm?
Do you want to take care of me?
Why? Are you sick?
No, I mean... Do you want to buy me things?
Baby, someday I'll buy you the Taj Mahal to wear on a silver chain around your ankle.
Don't make fun of me.
Oh, don't sound as though you're serious about it.
I am serious. Doesn't it bother you that I have to work 8 hours a day in a dark, stuffy music publisher's office, never getting any fresh air or sunshine, eating at lunch counters?
Working never hurt anybody. The more you come into contact with people, the more you learn about life. And the more you learn of life, the more interesting a person you become.
Maybe. But doesn't it ever occur to you that I have to do without things?
Without what things?
Oh, all the little things that make life more gracious. Nice clothes, an apartment that you don't have to heat with a pot-bellied stove, a telephone.
Yes, 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 go on. Strawberries out of season, a couple of mink coats.
Don't coach me.
Roby, what is this specter I see before me? A shadowy figure out of the past with acquisitive claws... And a soul rubber-stamped with a dollar sign.
Now, don't start your surrealistic speech-making.
I see in this the fine, fat hand of Douglas Perry. Don't tell me that mental somnambulist is making you dance to the siren song of remembered luxuries.
When you get this way, it's no use. I'm not going to say another word.
All right, but remember, this is me you're talking to, Peter. A man with a few of his own ideas about life. I don't intend to trade them for standard equipment.
I don't ask you to.
Okay.
Douglas and his mother and sister want me to go to dinner in the theater with them tomorrow night.
Good. I've got to work on these illustrations anyway.
I think they should have asked you to go, too.
Why, that'd be hypocritical. They have no use for me, nor I for them.
I don't think I should go.
Why not? You'll have a good time.
I don't want that kind of a good time.
Oh. What are you afraid of?
I'm not afraid of anything.
Well, then.
Well, then, since you're so insistent, I'll go.
Taxi! Right, Roby?
Fine.
Hotel Savoy, please.
This is wonderful.
What is?
The feel of a taxi. I haven't been riding on anything but subways and buses for, well, for 3 years, I guess.
Roby.
Now, don't get sympathetic, Douglas. Just let me enjoy it. Where are we going?
To the hotel first to pick up Mother and Doris.
Roby, darling, I'd never recognize you.
You're so thin, dear, and so pale. What on earth have you been doing to yourself?
You see, Roby, what did I tell you?
Nonsense. You've just forgotten what I looked like, that's all.
On the contrary.
Now hurry and get your coat, Doris. We must take Roby out to dinner right away and fatten her up.
Yes. Where's a good place to dine, Roby? I mean a really good place.
Well, I don't know. I'm from cafeteria society myself.
Never mind. They'll just cruise around until we find something.
Nothing too magnificent, Douglas.
Why not? Best is none too good.
Yes, thanks, but...
But what, dear?
Well, it's quite obvious I'm not dressed for it.
Is that all? Well, my goodness, Roby, I've got lots of things.
No, thanks.
Now, don't be silly, Roby. You go ahead and pick out one of Doris's things.
Of course, Roby. Why not? Just for tonight.
All right. Why not indeed? It's very sweet of you.
That's better. Doris, the baby blue would look just darling on her. Now go ahead and get all prettied up, and then you'll look like our own Roby again.
You dance like a breeze.
I feel like a breeze. I feel pampered and elegant and luxurious. This place is so expensive.
You look so young and wide-eyed.
It's that amber-colored liquid stuff we've been drinking. What was it? Nectar? I'm a little bit dazed. Let me see. This is the third... No, the fourth nightclub we've been to. And before that, center seats in the fourth row at the opening of a play. Of course, in moments of cold logic, even I could tell the play wasn't very good. But that fabulous dinner we had with three different waiters serving it. Oh, I've really been doing Alice in Wonderland tonight.
I'm glad you feel that way. I'm glad I can take you to places that make you feel that way.
It's nice, acting like a little wrinkle in the lap of luxury.
You could have it whenever you want it.
Wouldn't be as much fun that way.
Come now, Roby, don't tell me you live the way you do by preference.
Oh, Douglas, of course I like this kind of life. Who wouldn't, especially when you were brought up on it? But there are more important things in life, more lasting things, more meaningful things.
Hmm. You're so little, and you try to be such a fire eater.
I am not little. I'm tougher than you are any day.
Why? Because you do things the hard way? That doesn't prove anything.
You wouldn't last very long if you had to live on my income.
I'd never have to live on your income, Roby. I don't like skimpy living. I don't like it so much that I've made sure I'll never have to tolerate it.
Well, that's fine. That's fine. More power to you.
Don't be angry, Roby. It's just that, well, I wish I could give you all the things you deserve.
I wish you could too, Douglas. But I married Peter, and I'll just bide my time until he can give them to me. I think it's fairly obvious that I didn't marry for money. It looks familiar. Yep, this is the place. This is where I live, all right. What time is it?
Almost 5 o'clock.
In the morning?
Mm-hmm.
Good. I hope Peter's worried about me. Thanks for everything, Douglas. It was very, very luxurious. Good night. I mean, good morning.
Will I see you tomorrow? I mean, tonight?
Sure, come on in.
No, Roby. I mean, later on.
Sure, phone me. I mean, I'll phone you from a booth. We don't have one in the house, you know, too indigestible. Goodbye. Peter? Peter, are you awake? Peter? He's sleeping. Peter!
Huh? What? What's the matter? What time is it?
5 o'clock in the morning.
Huh, what's the big idea?
I just got home. Weren't you worried about me?
Oh, darling, please, for heaven's sake, there's no time to ask questions. Good night.
Good night.
I love life and I want to live.
Good morning.
I love life and...
Good morning, I said.
Oh, hello. When did you get up?
Just now.
I'm frying bacon.
I know. That's what woke me up. That and the way you love life.
Ah, look at that bacon. Did you ever see anything so crisp, so brown? Come here and kiss me.
It's too early. Oh, I do look pale and thin.
What?
I said I look pale and thin.
Nonsense. You're as healthy as a horse.
I am not. Don't you want to know if I had a good time last night?
Certainly. Did you have a good time last night?
Wonderful.
Good.
Don't you want to know what I did?
Oh, I presume you went to dinner in the theater, as you said you would.
We had dinner at the Sherry Plaza. Three different waiters served us. There were silver covers on the dishes.
Did you get any butter?
We went to the opening of a new play.
By whom?
I don't remember. I never heard of him before.
The play any good?
Well, it had its point.
Of course, the level of entertainment is secondary to the fact that it was an opening.
And there were a lot of the best people doing the acting at intermission.
After that, we went to the Sirocco Club.
My sweet darling, why are you trying so hard to impress me?
You're not really interested in what I do. You don't care whether I'm happy or not.
What in the name of heaven has your being happy got to do with the gold-plated dishes at the Sirocco Club?
Maybe I'm tired of living skimpily.
Living skimpily? Why, you silly, ungrateful little fool. You call it living skimpily when you can reach out and pick up any one of 300-odd books and enjoy the products of some of the finest minds in all literature.
That isn't what I mean.
It means nothing to you that some of the greatest music of all time has been put down on a convenient little disc for you to play at will.
The machine isn't working again.
Maybe you never left Baltimore. Maybe you belong with those overstuffed products of assembly line culture.
Maybe I do.
Well, go on back to them. But don't think you'll escape the skimpy living. Their bodies are fat and their clothes are rich. But their minds and their souls are as skimpy as a row of dried up string beans.
The bacon is burning! The Blue Velvet Cocktail Lounge. It's like a peacock's tail. Gorgeous, elegant, and a little snooty.
But you like it.
Yes, I'm afraid I do.
Ruby, you belong in smooth, civilized places like this.
I'm beginning to think so. You're bad for me, Douglas. I'm beginning to walk along the street and look into shop windows and say to myself, why shouldn't I have those things? A pair of silly, fancy shoes, a streamlined convertible, a baby grand piano, a pair of lounging pajamas. I guess I have acquisitive claws.
You need a vacation, Ruby. A vacation from the kind of life you've been leading.
Maybe I do.
Look, you remember Marion and Philip Redding? They have a place out in Connecticut, and they've invited Mother, Doris, and myself for the weekend. They asked us to bring you along.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they did, honestly. Will you come?
Well?
The change will do you good, Ruby. You'll need a rest.
I don't know, Douglas.
It's a big, comfortable, quiet place. You won't have to do anything but just relax.
It sounds wonderful.
Well?
Yes, I'll come. I'm going to Connecticut for the weekend, Peter, with the Perrys.
So the lost sheep is returning to the fold. She wandered out into the forest primeval for a little while, got scratched and scared, and now she's going back to the pasture. The nice, safe pasture with a fence around it.
What a pretty allegory. Does my going away bother you that much?
You're free. Do what you like.
Thanks. I think there's enough food in the house to last till Monday.
Oh, don't worry about me. I can manage. You didn't want to take care of me.
Oh, the great big spirit of independence.
That's right. I can take life without the satin quilted padding.
Maybe that's why you have so many rough edges.
Look, this is silly. Now, you want to go to Connecticut. Fine. Have a nice trip. Bon voyage. Happy landings. See you again sometime.
Well, you don't have to be so aggressive about it. I'm going.
It would turn out to be a rainy weekend.
Well, don't worry about it, Marion. We can amuse ourselves indoors just as well.
Oh, how about a session of bridge?
Well, now, let's see. There are 7 of us.
You young folks go ahead. I think I'll take a little nap.
Count me out. I'll amuse myself at the piano.
Oh, do you play, Roby? Well, that's wonderful. I'm always so relieved when we invite someone who can play the piano. Otherwise, it just stands idle for months and months.
How about rendering us a peppy selection, Roby?
Roby plays classical music.
Oh, I just love classical music. Especially when it's raining.
How about, what's the name of that piece? The Moonlight Concerto?
Let's play bridge.
It's all dry and sunny today, Roby. Like to take a walk?
Love to.
The air smells good after that rain.
Any air would smell good after being cooped up in that, well, in any house.
Well, here it is Sunday. Tomorrow, the 4 of us go back to New York, and then Mother, Doris, and I go to Baltimore. And you?
And I?
What about you, Roby? Have you enjoyed the weekend?
You're very sweet, Douglas.
Have you?
And very kind.
You're not answering me.
Well, of course I enjoyed it, Douglas. Why not? Fine food, fine wine, fine oriental rugs, incorporated. All the comforts of somebody else's home.
They could be the comforts of your own home, Roby. Just say the word.
What's the word? Bridge?
Don't make fun of these people, Roby. They may not be very, well, very arty, but they have their qualities.
Yes, they have. Fine food, fine wine.
I don't understand you, Roby. You seem so anxious to come here, and now you're mocking the very things you came for.
I guess I'm just a silly, ungrateful little fool.
No, I didn't say that. You're just confused. You're torn between loyalty to the beliefs that Peter has taught you and your natural womanly desires for comfort and security.
That's a neat way of putting it.
I'm not as insensitive as you may think, Roby. Not where you're concerned, anyway.
Don't make me feel like a heel.
I'm not trying to.
No, but I know what you're thinking.
Do you?
You want me to realize that wealth, the kind of wealth these people have, doesn't necessarily mean a lack of culture or intellect.
Exactly.
And that in any case, you're not like the Reddings.
Well, yes.
And you want to know if I'll leave Peter and go back to Baltimore with you.
Will you, Roby?
You see, that's how you make me feel like a heel. Because all the time I had a feeling that you were campaigning along those lines. And all the time I knew I couldn't go back.
Well, if you felt that way, why did you come out here?
I knew that was coming. I came out here, Douglas, because I was honestly lonely for the feel of fine linen and the look of cut glass goblets and the richness of real silver spoons and the blessed laziness of having nothing to do but loaf.
You'll always miss those things.
I probably will. But I don't mind if it takes a little time to get them. I'd forgotten what people are like whose lives are too easy. I'd forgotten what it did to them. How smug and complacent they become. So I'll get it my way, not by going back to the fold. I'll get it Peter's way. And when I have a library, I'll know what to put in it. And when I have a grand piano, it'll be an achievement, not a piece of furniture. Thanks for helping me get it out of my system, Douglas. May I ask one last favor of you?
That seems to be all I'm good for.
You're a nice guy. Would you lend me train fare back to New York? I'd like to leave right now. Hello.
Well, hello. Oh, you back to stay? Or just slumming?
Don't be funny.
Have a good time?
Very nice, thanks.
All rested now?
Yes.
Did Douglas offer you the moon and a 20-year endowment policy?
Yes.
Did you accept?
No.
Why not?
Oh, Peter.
Nice to have you back.
Oh, Peter. The whole thing was so ludicrous. I wish you could have seen them. I wish you could have heard them talk. Peter, have you ever played bridge for 5 solid hours?
No, but I've got a vivid imagination.
I wish I could remember all the things they said. It was... Peter!
It's all right. Don't be afraid.
But, Peter, something was ringing. Didn't you hear it?
Of course I heard it.
There it is again! It couldn't be. Peter, you didn't. Wait,
I thought we ought to have it around just to remind you what a little fool you could be.
Oh, Peter, you're so sweet, I could cry.
Don't be a typical woman. Hey, I'd better answer.
No, don't answer it. I want to hear it ring again. Oh, I wonder what Douglas would say if he knew we had a telephone.
Thank you, Miss Helen Hayes. It's always a grand occasion at our AFRS Radio Playhouse when we have you as our star. And now it's time for the cast and all of us here at the Playhouse to ring down the curtain until our next performance. This is Hunter Galloway saying goodbye and good luck. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.